We're live from the Florida Blue Practice Fields outside of Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com live from Mandatory Minicamp. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. It's day two in another bright sun splash day.
Well, and I won't be here when we sign off, but this is sort of one last go-round live for us from an event for the offseason. And we've done so much live that it's almost easy to forget that 2 years ago we weren't doing anything like this. So it's been a neat thing. We get to do it one more day. But to sort of bring fans into this live, let them see what's going on as we talk about it. It's been a good offseason, and I'm sure we'll do a lot of it during training camp. But one more day of it.
Here's how you can get involved: at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Osher's here now. Brian Sexton coming up shortly. Jim Corbett from USA Today will join us as well during practice. We'll take you right up to the team portion of today's practice. We can't show that live. We'll show everything else live as we did yesterday, individual drills and all the rest. Jaguars this week. Minicamp, of course, continues today. Bortles signed this morning about 7:30 a.m. We'll get to that. Also, the offseason program ends tomorrow, the final practice before the true dead period in the National Football League.
And first of all, for folks who don't know Jim, Jim's never really been on Jaguars.com Live. He's been covering the NFL for USA Today for a long, long time, since I got into it and before. Very insightful, and we'll have some thoughts on what's going on around this team and around the league.
I know he's been here to kind of cover the quarterback situation. Had an article today that compared or contrasted this situation to what's happening in Cleveland right now,
right,
which is quite different, so we'll get his thoughts on that. Let's start with the Bortles news
today. Speaking of, right?
Speaking of, a guy, who? Blake Bortles. You might have heard of him. Third overall pick this year from Central Florida. Signed this morning. You saw the video on Jaguars.com today, the article from you, John. It's not a huge story. As we've said the whole offseason,
right,
signings are supposed to happen, but reports have it close to $20 million sure, over 4 years. And it's finally out of the way.
And I noticed, you may have noticed on Twitter, there are pictures of Blake smiling.
Yeah.
If I signed for $20 million, I'd be smiling too.
You bet.
Yeah. And, but it's not a mystery anymore when these guys sign. And it's a mystery maybe when, but not if. And there's very little chance of a holdout or any sort of a holdout or anything that extends into training camp. So on that level, not a huge news story the way it would have been 3 or 4 years ago that people are used to. But a big moment for Blake, even beyond the fulfilling of a childhood dream, and you're sort of there. But as he said today, it's the last sort of non-football pre-draft thing that you sort of got to check off. It's the last loose thread to be tied up.
Right.
So now, not that he hasn't already, but now it's full go, concentrate on quarterbacking, get this thing that he's got going, which is developing, which is learning at his own pace, which is trying to get ready to be the starter, get that going full bore. Again, as he said, not that he hasn't been doing it already, but just one more thing off the plate.
So that's the biggest news of the day. We'll have more on that a little later today on Inside the Jaguars.
And a further thought on Blake, it's probably not overstating it to say that he's gotten better during this OTAs.
Okay.
And it's often hard to pass judgment. It's hard.
In what regard, though?
Well, how? He has thrown the ball better the last couple of days. I mean, even yesterday, I think he was 9 of 15, 9 of 16. He didn't have the completion percentage he did late last week when we all reported it, but he looked better. And he had some throws deep downfield where I don't want to say he was looking guys off, but he was thrown to the right guy. He was thrown to a second level. They weren't dump-offs. He's starting to carry himself. He's always carried himself well. But he's now starting to put together a few throws that are NFL-type throws that are looking the part. Again, not a day to go around high-fiving. We're not going to be judging individual days. But I think certainly since the beginning of training, I mean, the beginning of OTAs to now, I don't think anybody would tell you that the graph hasn't pointed up. I don't know how significant that is in the big picture. It doesn't mean he's going to start. But it's what you want to see from your third, if you're number three overall pick.
Jaguars.com live from Mandatory Minicamp. You're watching Team Stretch. They'll go into individual position drills coming up shortly, and we'll carry you through that today. Once the team period starts, we'll have to get out 11-on-11. They don't want that shown publicly.
No, no.
It's open to the public. But
a lot of secrets, JP. A lot of secrets.
Let's talk, you know, offensive line. We talked a little bit about this with Brian yesterday, in depth about the offensive line and maybe the last time he could remember a starting five that was set this early. It's
right.
Really almost impossible in the NFL to have that because of the turnover and the contracts and such. Now, one of the positions of this team, a little bit up in the air, is that center position.
Right.
And Mike Brewster might be the guy there, but you got Bowenko, who was a draft pick there. Where does that stand? I know you talked to Mike Brewster, right?
Well, first off, before we get to Mike, yes, it's set. At the same time, how remarkable is that it sort of seems set with a massive amount of turnover since the end of last season. You're going to have four guys in the starting lineup who are not starting in the last game of the season. You've got Jokel, who's moved over, of course. Zane Beadle's new. Mike Brewster, who Brad Meester was there at the beginning. And it would seem like you're going to see Brandon Linder at that other spot. He's been working more and more. Josh McClendon is still in that. But things seem to be trending toward Brandon Linder starting there. So you've really got Austin Passer left over. And I think a year ago, if you had said, hey, you're going to have a new starting five and Austin Passer is going to be the guy that we all know, you said we were crazy.
Yep.
Speaks to the turnover on this team. Another another point to remember, with that much turnover, although it is set, there will be a process in training camp, in the preseason, where these guys have to learn how to work together. That is a remarkably new mix of people on the offensive line. You mentioned Brewster. I talked to him yesterday in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Big concern of his going into the offseason was his ankle. And obviously he had broken it late last season. He was not sure going into OTAs exactly how much he'd be able to do. He was much like Luke Jokel in that sense, maybe even a little behind Luke Jokel.
Right.
And he was concerned maybe not get any reps, maybe only get a few. He told me yesterday he is very happy with how he's been able to work out here. You're not supposed to have any contact out here, JP, but the reality is there are moments when players come together. And Mike says he has done enough. He has had the experience enough of getting rushed, of having to have his hands on somebody. He feels like he'll be able to handle a bull rush come preseason. He feels like he's been able to plant. He feels like he's been able to put enough pressure on that ankle. It's not that there's no soreness. He expects to have soreness all year. But he's very confident now after seeing this for a month, after coming back, which is the most important thing off of an injury, how you come back the next day.
Yeah.
He's very confident that from what he's seen, he will be physically ready to go during training camp, but that won't be what holds him back.
Well, the ankle's one thing, John, with him. Yeah, that's the obvious
right.
thing. But a lot of folks, even last year before the ankle injury, felt that he wasn't strong enough
sure.
up top.
Yep.
And is that a concern for him?
Didn't ask him about that. I know he's put on weight and gained strength with that in mind. If you listen to Gus Bradley, that may be the thing that Gus talks about the most with Mike is how impressed he is in the offseason with what he has done to prepare. Gus was careful to say that it's not that he hadn't been good at that before, but certainly maybe it's Alex Mack, the pursuit of him. Maybe it's the fact that the position is there open for him. Maybe it's the fact that he knows that he has to fight for it even though it's there. This is a huge opportunity that not every NFL player who's undrafted gets. It appears that Mike Brewster is doing everything in the offseason to take full advantage of that. As now we've talked that out, when the pads go on in late July is when the clock really starts on that, whatever battle that's going to be. But so far it hasn't looked like a battle because they have not worked Bowenko in there. At the other guard spot, they have worked Linder in, which
that's
makes
right.
you think that that's sort of happening, changing as we see it. There hasn't been that with Mike Brewster, so it makes you think certainly his job to lose, and maybe even more than that, as training camp opens.
And just the difference in draft picks. I mean, they traded up to in the third round
sure.
to get Linder. You think that would, hey, we're going to get this guy on the field. Bowenko was a very late
right.
round pick. Not that that has to do a lot, but there might be something to that, too. This is Jaguars.com Live from mandatory mini camp at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. Better crowd today than yesterday.
Yes.
Similar heat to yesterday, John.
And you mentioned Linder. I think it's important to note, you know, people have wondered about the pace of that. You worked McClendon at the starting job for a while, and in the last couple of days that have been open, they have worked Linder in more and more. You would think some of that is you don't want to automatically hand a rookie third-round pick the starting position. It sort of plays into what Gus has talked about with the quarterback position, right, where
yeah.
he doesn't want to put undue pressure on a guy. So why not give Brandon Linder a chance to sort of work without thinking, oh, I'm the starter. Give him a chance to work around the rest of the offensive line, which he has worked to tackle some. But I would think that once training camp begins, barring injury, you will see Linder work there more and more. Expect for him to be the starter opening day against the Eagles.
J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier live from Mandatory Minicamp. The final public practice, tomorrow's practice is also early. It's 10:40, but it's closed to the public. So this is the final chance for the fans to get a look here. I asked you this yesterday on Inside the Jaguars. You know, if you're John Q. Public, what do you want to see today? And,
right.
And there's some guys that you may not know of out here.
Well, and probably with some of these guys, what you're seeing is a chance to say, hey, I saw him stand around and not hit very much, because the linemen aren't going to do that very much. But, you know, Josh Wells is a guy. He's an undrafted free agent, offensive tackle, who they say has looked very good, very athletic, sort of looks the part.
I know Lagerman loves him. Yeah. Lagerman loves him.
You have to help me on the pronunciation here. Ricky, two H's.
Yeah, I can't help you with that.
Havili. I'm going to get close. But he's athletic. He looks the part, sort of like an Avery Jones looked the part this time last year. You're always looking for young linemen, young defensive linemen that you can start working into rotation. Keep an eye out for that guy. Obviously, Alan Hearns is a guy that everybody's talking about. A lot of the receivers, some of the undrafted guys who are higher level, DeAndre Coleman, Craig Loston, Rashad Reynolds, are guys that have basically looked the part. They expected them to look good. They could have been drafted. Also, Sherrod Martin, before he got hurt, had caught the eye of some people. So I just listed maybe seven or eight guys. Not all those guys are going to be on the roster. I think this roster is beyond having that many undrafted free agents on it. But certainly those are guys who will be storylines as training camp approaches and as it develops.
Jaguars.com live from Mandatory Minicamp. Final few thoughts here. Let's go back to the receivers. That was the big topic yesterday with Cecil Shorts III. Stretching, but out. And Gus Bradley said yesterday he's not going to work the rest of this week. If it was next week, he might run a little bit next week. That won't be the case. The rookies are still
out. Let's not overplay Cecil yet. I mean, I get that this is the time of year in this generation where OTAs are open and you've got Twitter, where if I tweet out that Cecil Shorts isn't working this week, we're going to get a massive retweet saying, oh, he's injury prone. Oh, what's wrong with him? And that's what we got. This is very much a let's not be stupid here. This is OTAs, and this is a guy who probably doesn't dramatically need to be out there. Now, if Cecil has soft tissue stuff come training camp and is not out there and is a, hey, I'm working limited this day, then maybe we can talk about it. But for right now, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. If he is there during training camp, and what we're talking about there is a non-issue today. And I interrupted you, but wide receivers.
Not at all. And that goes back to a point that we talked yesterday. Wide receivers, a big part of the receivers being out is the timing and the work with the quarterbacks. But you got to remember, these guys are going to work out together in the dead period by themselves.
Right.
They're probably, a lot of them will go to Minnesota for Fitzgerald's camp.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if, I think Jim Corbett tweeted it yesterday, that three of the quarterbacks are going to go for the Jags. So they're going to have work on the field together, just not in official capacity.
I think the key is, and we talked about it a lot, Jerry Sullivan is such a big part of the equation for the receivers, and maybe more so than a lot of wide receivers, coaches, and NFL teams would be. Jerry said, without question, ideally you would have Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson on the field. And he said, I asked him yesterday off the field, will you have time with these guys to get them ready? And he kind of laughed because it was sort of a rookie reporter's question. He said, well, they're never going to be a fully ready. It's going to be a process. But he said, yes, during training camp, there will be a chance to get with them on fundamentals. There will be a chance to get with them on the Jerry Sullivan stuff, which is the details, the route running. There will be a chance to work on that. Now, asking Cecil Shorts later on about the same question, he said, Jerry Sullivan and Lee and Robinson's willingness to listen and absorb it in the first year will be absolutely key. And he kind of laughed. He goes, they'll most certainly listen, because if you don't listen to Jerry around here, it's trouble. So he said, they will be humbled, because Jerry will humble you. But he said, if they absorb it, if they grasp it and put it to work, he said, there's no doubt that those two can be productive and be ready at least as ready as a rookie wide receiver can be in the first year. So Cecil says there's still time for those guys.
John, well done as always. We'll look forward to your coverage the rest of the day on Twitter and on Jaguars.com. The final public mini camp practice for 2014 offseason program. And well done as always, John.
I appreciate it. Me and my bad shirt are going to go watch some practice. How about that?
It's not a bad shirt.
Well,
I'm sure it's very
we'll talk later.
Okay, John, thanks a lot. John Hosier joining us, Jaguars.com senior writer. Let's talk about this three-game mini camp or mini pack for the Jaguars. You can build your own three-game ticket package. Choose from either the Steelers game October 5th or the Giants game November 30th, and then two other preseason or regular season games. Call the Jags ticket office 633-2000 for more information. Brian Sexton en route to the grandstand here at the Florida Blue practice fields. The special teams period still ongoing right after stretch. The quarterbacks are over by themselves. The offensive line by themselves as well. Special teams work, and then they'll break out into individual position groups. Brian Sexton is with us now, senior correspondent. Another beautiful sunsplash. A little better crowd today, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's picked up a little bit. Yeah, it's the last open opportunity for people to see this team until training camp. And so I think they're going to make the most of it. And it is a nice day. Guys like you and I, a hat is always helpful, you know?
Yeah.
But for TV, it doesn't really work.
Well, I need all the hats I can get.
There's a straw hat. Someone's wearing a straw hat. Yeah, that might work for you.
Yeah, I've got a bucket hat over here, but we'll get to that later. Let's talk linebackers. One of the linebackers not out here. We talk about the wide receivers who were injured a lot and some other guys that aren't out here. But Dakota Watson was really the first free agent, one of the first free agent signings for the Jags this offseason. He hasn't been on the field much of this OTA period. And, you know, on paper, he has a big role in this defense. Yeah. That's going to be tough for him.
That's a major bummer for this team because when they signed him, first of all, he was an unknown. I didn't have any clue, and I follow this league closely. And so when I talked to Jeff Lagerman, who really evaluated him thoroughly on tape, the thing that kept coming out was how athletic, how fast, how fluid, how aggressive. I said, man, this guy sounds like a first-round pick. And that's exactly what he said is some guys need time to develop, and that's what he did in Tampa. Jaguars saw him on tape, saw the upside, which is what you're trying to capture in free agency, right? A guy on his way up that perhaps won't cost you that premium salary. And then they wanted to put him in as many roles as possible. You've heard about the new auto linebacker, that guy who's at the line of scrimmage and who has pass rush ability. They also want to use him in Leo because they think he has pass rush. They're just, he's a guy with a lot of different roles that he can play. And right now his role has been rehab the injured groin, and he's been over there most of the offseason. Now, I had a chance to catch up with him in the locker room yesterday, and he talked extensively about the mental reps, which is standing here, listening to the call, watching what the guys who can perform go and do, and then making note of that somewhere back in a file here, in a notebook, in the locker room. You know, he's a smart guy. He's very athletic. He looks the part. The key for them is what does he do when they finally get him out on the field? And Paul Posluszny told me yesterday, you want a guy who looks the part, who runs the part, who sounds the part? It's him. It's Dakota. You just got to get him on the field.
Brian, do you buy the whole mental rep thing?
Well,
are you a physical rep guy?
Well, I want to see more of the physical. I mean, let's play. This game is not played. Well, I guess some people play the mental game when they turn on Madden all the time. But for you and for me, guys who are out here every day, I want to see a hand on the ground. I want to see someone going backwards. I want to see a play being made in the teeth of of two safeties bearing down on a tight end or a receiver. So the mental rep thing, that's how you console yourself when you look at that. All right, well, he's getting the mental rep, so he's learning. And perhaps there's a way they measure that in the classroom. I'm sure that they do. They don't leave much to chance here.
Sure.
But you know Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley want him on the field. They want to see how he runs and fits. Now, they're not really hitting until training camp, so he hasn't missed that yet. So hopefully that is something that doesn't require a lot of mental reps. Get out there and knock someone backwards.
Right, sure.
And look, he looks like that is something he is very comfortable doing.
Brian Sexton is with us, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com. We're live from mandatory minicamp at the Florida Blue practice fields. Special teams work with the quarterbacks off to the side, offensive line off to the side as well. Individual position groups coming up. We'll show that live to you. Yesterday at Inside the Jaguars, we featured Toby Gerhart. You had a chance to catch up with him in the locker room yesterday. And, you know, the transition to a different offense for him, different role for him is big, of course, being a starting running back. and being the running back on this, the known running back on this roster, let's say. But there's still a lot of room for him to grow getting ready for training camp. He's not quite ready to roll yet, is he?
Well, no, and I sat with him probably the first week of mini camp, or of OTAs rather, and we talked about that. In fact, the spotlight is still available up on the website under videos. You want to go check that one out. Yeah. And you're talking about a guy who's been playing in Minnesota, right? Now, they get some hot days in Minnesota. We've seen that through the years. And what you have now is a guy who, from California to Minnesota to Florida, well, I mean, from speaking not as a climatologist, what you've got is you got a heavy blanket of humidity that he's really never experienced before. And so he is taking extra time to work on the cardio to make sure that his weight is where he wants it to be and that he's in the best physical shape of his life. Even though he hasn't been the primary ball carrier in a number of years, he is acting as if his body has taken that beating and using that, knowing what's coming in training camp, to get in the best shape he possibly can. The thing that really stuck out, the thing that stuck out to me, we were talking about Dave Caldwell's offense and how many different aspects there are of it and how dynamic he believes it's going to be. So I asked him to start explaining it. He said, look, I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. I went to Stanford. Did you get into Stanford?
No.
I did not. And he said then, which was almost a month ago, I don't get it. I mean, I get it. I'm learning it. I don't have it down yet. And I asked him yesterday in the locker room, do you got it? And he said, no. No, there's a whole lot more that he still has to get a grip on. So a guy like Gerhardt, there's 5 weeks between the end of this OTA period and training camp. He ain't going to be resting a whole lot. He may be back in California spending some time with family in his downtime, but he's going to be in his playbook and he's going to be out running to get in that top physical shape so that he is ready mentally and physically.
Brian, well done. Jim Corbett's coming up next. I'm going to run you off.
You can always find me. Jim Corbett is only here on a limited basis.
For a little bit. Brian Sexton, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com, with us on Jaguars.com Live. Jaguars groups, put your group together for the best game day experience in the league at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform, including spa cabanas, special group ticket pricing, extensive corporate hospitality, customized group experiences. Reserve your group experience today. Jaguars.com/groups. It's a great home schedule, of course. The Steelers, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Browns, and the divisional teams all here, of course. That Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London. Jim Corbett, USA Today, coming up shortly. Saw him walking off a moment ago, but he should be nearby. Individual drills are just about to begin. The horn just sounded. We're live on Jaguars.com. Glad you're with us today. The final live coverage of the 2014 offseason for Jaguars.com. Tomorrow's final practice of the offseason program is closed to the public, so we will not have live coverage tomorrow. We'll have Inside the Jaguars a little later today to recap today, and the same for tomorrow's final practice. There is a rookie kids camp on Friday morning. And then actually Thursday night, caravan season starts. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, caravans, Palm Coast Thursday, Oviedo on Friday, and then the Daytona area on Saturday. So a lot going on in the community and in the area over the next few days, even after camp is done. Individual drills have started. We're looking at wide receivers now right in front of us. Still no Cecil Shorts the third, as we had mentioned earlier. Gus Bradley said yesterday that, yeah, he'll stretch, he'll do some things early, but they're not going to press things with number 84 in this camp. If there was camp next week, he might be available to run at some point, but that would be about it. Ace Sanders, Mike Brown working full as they were yesterday. Quarterbacks in the middle of field one, tight ends, and then on down the far right side, the offensive linemen are getting their work in. Defense out on field two, as they were yesterday, with the defensive backs on the far left, linebackers in the middle, and a defensive line on the far right. JP Shadrick. John Osier joined us earlier. Brian Sexton a moment ago. Jim Corbett from USA Today in the vicinity. We'll try to get him over here and get his thoughts. He's been covering the league for 27 years or so and has been here, was here yesterday, and he'll be here throughout this mini camp to cover the Jaguars. We're taking a look down the far side of field one. The offensive line getting work in. Luke Butkus is working with the offensive lineman. George Yarno, a note from yesterday, is back in Washington State getting cancer treatment, so he'll be away from the team this entire week. And as we heard from Gus Bradley a little while back when the diagnosis was announced, that Yarno may be in, may be out at some points, and just a matter of when and how. And for now, it's Luke Butkus, the assistant offensive line coach, working with that Jaguars offensive line. Jim Corbett from USA Today making his way up to join us on Jaguars.com Live, working his way through a maze of fences. Individual drills happening. We will go off the air at Teamwork. Jim, thanks for coming up. We appreciate it. We're live on Jaguars.com. And I know you've been, first off, thanks for coming up on such short notice.
Yeah, glad to help.
You know, this is, it's a warm one here. You've been here for a day or so, but you've been covering the league for what, 27 years?
That's correct.
The environment around here, the music, the philosophy of Gus Bradley, all that, is that unique?
You know, you see in a lot of places, I think Gus's mentor, Pete Carroll in Seattle, is a big proponent of this. You see it more places than not. I don't think you see it in New England with Bill Belichick, but it's something that, you know, really, like Gus was saying yesterday, pumps energy into the players, gets them going. And I think it's a good vibe, especially with the crowd here. It looks like about maybe 200-300 people coming out on a hot day. And it just gets you engaged with the team and lets you see what's unfolding here.
We read your story on USAtoday.com today about the contrasting styles of quarterbacking between here and Cleveland. And it's a big story nationally what's happening in Cleveland, of course. And not a lot of folks know what's going on in Jacksonville. It's a big difference.
Yeah, Cleveland is Manziel mania, as you might expect. And it's as much to do with what he's done off the field, his adventures or misadventures, depending on how you look at it. But Johnny is definitely drama, and it's going to be a different ride there. Here it's a quiet contrast, and to see Chad Henne is entrenched as a starter, and obviously the redshirt rookie presumptive that way. I like the plan. It reduces the stress on Blake, and you know, today him signing his deal I thought was a great, you know, way to start the summer. I mean, you want to have him under contract, and 4 years, $20.65 million, fully guaranteed, and I think it was 13 to sign. So he's about hard work from what I can tell. And I asked him, I said, any plans to go to Vegas? And he said, no, nothing like that. Maybe I'll go to the beach. But he'll be working, he said, most of the 6 weeks. And I think that's what you want. He's a humble kid. From what you can see, there's flashes of talent. And I like the way they're bringing him along. And I think with an improved offensive line, they're going to run the ball. And certainly if the defense takes that next step, as Dave Caldwell and Gus hope, then I think they have a chance to do some things. And that's the hope here, obviously.
Jim Corbett is with us, USA Today. This is Jaguars.com Live from Mandatory Minicamp. It's pretty rare, though, when the number three overall pick is not a starting quarterback right away, right? That's pretty rare.
No question. And there's different ways to do it. And I think when you look at it, it's guys now, everybody's saying, well, Russell Wilson started as a rookie. Yeah, and Gus was from there 2 years ago when he was Pete's defensive coordinator out in Seattle. But the idea is people forget Russell was a 5-year starter or had at least 52-something starts. Blake's coming out as a junior underclassman, and as good as he was last year, still needs some refinement in his mechanics. You see the ball every once in a while wobble. He's got great touch, great anticipation, and he's working to be more consistent. But it is that jump from year three to year four or five of being a starter in a college program. Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, even Tom Brady at Michigan. Obviously, he didn't play his first year, but the idea is he had that body of work. So I think it's an enlightened approach by these guys, and if it works, a lot more people will try and do it. And it might be just a counteraction to what we saw in the 2011 class where these guys suffered here from Blaine Gabbert being thrown to the Wolves too soon and never getting over being shell-shocked.
Jim, on a national scale, yes, it's the coaching staff and the GM and the the culture of the organization. That's probably the top story nationally or for the Jaguars right now, the stadium. The quarterback issue is probably the next one. I'm just guessing as a local guy. But what's next down the list? What, as a national writer, what are you going to look for today, your second day in?
Yeah, today I'm going to look at the running backs. I mean, Toby Gerhardt, a guy with low tread, low mileage. Adrian Peters is backup. And now with Maurice Jones having been the face of the franchise for, what was it, 8 years and 8,000 yards, 61 rushing touchdowns. And obviously dropped off a cliff last year, so you can't second guess the decision to move on from Mojo, and as much as he's been the identity here, we'll see what Toby can bring them. I asked Dave Caldwell today when we sat, he scouted him coming out of Stanford, so a guy with low mileage, really nimble, has good hands, can pass pro, and you hope that Denard Robinson makes that jump in year two of really understanding what the transition from quarterback to running back is, and it appears that way. He's catching the ball, and he's got that explosiveness, and obviously the other guy, Todd Benn, I'm sorry, I just went blank. Right. But, you know, I've given you some of that explosive play, and hopefully you don't wear out Toby. But he will be the bell cow behind an improved and younger offensive line.
You know, the running back thing's interesting here because, yes, Maurice Jones-Drew's been the face of the franchise really for the last few years since Fred Taylor and all those folks left. But him being gone has not really been a topic around here. We haven't heard a lot about his name since he left to go to the Raiders, which is kind of remarkable, right?
I think everybody knew that, you know, maybe if he takes better care of himself, loses some weight, which he did not do last year coming off the foot injury, is that he could help Oakland and give them a presence that they've lacked. But it would be a surprise, let's put it that way, at age 30, 29 turning 30. You know, I think he was pretty used up as a guy who had given, you know, heart and soul here, was really good as a fierce blocker as well off the ball. But it's just one of those things that happens to the running back position and why we see it being so devalued in today's game. But Gus, obviously, and Dave as well, are proponents of run first, protect your quarterback, play good defense, and, you know, maybe they're going to win a lot of games in the 20s or compete in a lot of games, stay in a lot of games in the 20s, not going to have an explosive offense, but they're trying to build it the right way when you look at Seattle's model, winning with defense.
Jim Corbett is with us, USA Today, Jaguars.com Live. Let's stay on defense. Gus is a defensive guy. He's got his guy, Bob Babbitt, running that defense, too. He's got a lot of his horses up on that defensive line now. That was a key in free agency. They went defensive line heavy to get a little rotation going, and you have to have that if you're going to follow that Seattle philosophy.
Yeah, you can see guys like Cindric Marks last year wore down, and they needed more of a rotation. And bringing a Ziggy Hood in here, a Chris Clemens from Seattle, a Red Bryant to play that left defensive end position, gobble up those double blocks and help the linebackers flow to the ball. I think that's the way to go. They look like they have a lot of young, long, lean, second-year cornerbacks. And Jonathan Cyprian, having played and tasted the NFL last year as a safety, I like what they're doing, tying that secondary to the front end and just having a deeper rotation here and hopefully be able to stop people on the run. And this division will probably be up for grabs. The idea is that, you know, the Colts are going to be what they are with Andrew Luck if they can get Reggie Wayne to come back. But everybody else, I think, will be in the mix, and this is a team on the come.
If something happened to Luck, though, at Indy, it could be a wide-open race.
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, we know that Houston is better than a two-win team, depending on if they get Andre Johnson back and who their quarterback is. Right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, that doesn't thrill me. But the idea is that you're right. I mean, it's going to be kind of wide open for that other spot. We don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. They drafted Zach Mettenberger in Tennessee. Jake Locker has yet to really do it, stay healthy, I should say. And so that's a new regime as well. So it will be interesting. We always know the NFL is surprise-oriented. Kansas City last year, obviously Chip Kelly, what he did in Philadelphia. So there's always room for those teams that rise up no one saw coming.
It's minicamp. The dead period is coming up. What's your schedule the next few weeks before camp starts?
Yeah, after this week, I've got some recharging of the batteries, you know, 4 weeks. We look forward to that time. The NFL shuts down basically league-wide. Everybody goes on vacation. I'll be doing the same. Looking forward to it.
We appreciate your time in the heat today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, JP.
Great to see you. Jim Corbett, USA Today, joining us on Jaguars.com Live from Mandatory Minicamp. Jim, step out of the way here. We'll finish up on Jaguars.com Live. Final few minutes of individual position drills right now at the Florida Blue practice fields. Stay tuned a little later today on Jaguars.com. We'll have Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, many to recap today's action, and John Osher's writing coming up a little bit later as well. We will let you watch the final few minutes of positional drills right here on Jaguars.com Live.
Call you back. All right. Bye.